All right, we have most of the class. I know more people are filing in this on this hot Sunday morning. Why don't we just take some time just to bring our hearts before the Lord. I'll give us just some silence, and then as we just kind of align our hearts, and I will pray for us, okay? Mm-hmm. All right. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we this morning we want to direct our attention to you, who you are. Lord, will you help us set our hearts on what you have done for us? And how we are able to come before you so freely in this nation, and even on Zoom, that we are able to gather together and just openly and just study your word and be soaked in your presence and be changed because of your word as well. We want to thank you. Because this is a blessing above all, Lord, that we are able to be so close to you and that you are close to us. You are our God, and we follow you. Lord, we ask that your word today will continue to illuminate us, continue to bring more awe and more appreciation and of who you are and how loving you are.
Yes, Lord.
How much you want us to be in your kingdom and to experience all that you have provided for us, and that we are okay, we are good, and we are happy, we're joyful in your hands, because you are in control, not only of this world, but you're mostly in control of where, as your children, of how we will begin, how we will end. That we our lives are in safety and refuge under your wings, Lord. We thank you for this morning, and we pray all this in your name. Amen.
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 Right. All right. So we are still in this Shema stage, right? It's only been like what? 7, 8, 9 words. It's going to take us the next 2-3 weeks before we even finish it.
Because the teachers are slow.
The teachers are slow, yeah. We speak slow, we think slow. We prepare slow too, but that's good because then hopefully it's a little bit more thorough. But today, we're going to be focusing on the word love. That's what you see on my screen, ahava. That's the word to love in Hebrew. And we've been studying here, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And the next verse in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, is you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, your soul, and with all your might. But today we will really look at the word love. Now, before we kind of dive in, let's remind ourselves what we learned last week. Do you guys remember what kind of stood out last week? Anything that we discussed that that kind of stood out? Don't be shy.
It's okay. I won't be offended.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No one remembers. Something to do with the flag of United States of America. Maybe that'll jot your memory. You guys remember? It was a particular word, particular concept that we were talking about.
Allegiance.
Allegiance, right. We pledge allegiance to God, right? And how that plays out in our devotion to God. And then we pledge allegiance, and Pastor Alex mentioned, we pledge allegiance on one of his slides, he says, to the one God, the God out of many, right? The one God, which is the part of the Shema, the Lord is one. We pledge allegiance to the one God. And do you guys remember the sign language that I taught you guys 2 weeks ago? About the Shema, it helped. Shema, right? Yeah. Adonai.
Adonai.
Eloheinu, our God, right? Adonai, the Lord, out of many, is one. Yeah, that really helps me. I've been walking around doing that to make sure I don't forget, right? Because I'm the one teaching you guys. So I can't forget that. So on that concept of allegiance, I think we're going to flow into that even more today. Let me go here. Right.
Yes, and so, with allegiance, Pastor Alex also said we then have a purpose and a guide, mm-hmm. and an assurance of what is to come.
Yes, and how does that play out? Like, because we have allegiance, how does that give us assurance?
We have an anchor in what is good, and we we know God is in control.
Yes, yes. And that sometimes brings us, well, that usually should give us even more comfort, right? That even bad things that happen, that he is ultimately in control. And this is the concept in Deuteronomy. Moreover, this is the concept that Moses is trying to communicate to the people of Israel. And that concept flows into love. It's very surprisingly. Love the Lord, you shall love the Lord your God, is just repeating what, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It actually plays on to Shema, hear and obey, as we shall see. And again, with the concept of allegiance, I want to have us just openly describe, because allegiance has to do with soldiers, with army, or with a kingdom. Describe some honorable characteristics of a soldier or a military unit. I know none of us has been in the military. Who has? Every one of us wants to be. All the guys want to be in the military, but none of us have even carried a rifle or marched a mile, right? So we only know from the movies that we see. So from the movies you've seen and in your mind, what are some honorable characteristics of a soldier or military unit?
Loyalty.
Loyalty. That's a good one.
Discipline.
Okay.
About courage.
Courage. Okay. Definitely need to be courageous when you're a soldier.
Follow the commander.
Follow the commander. Yes. Yes. Follow the commander. Yeah, that's what soldiers need to do. Follow the commander.
No doubts, no question, just listen, obey.
No doubts, No question. Ooh, this is hard. This is hard. No question. Linda, you are a true soldier. No doubt. No question. Just Linda listen.
Linda knows what a leader needs in the followers.
We do this. Okay, no doubts, no question. Just listen. Okay. Just
Shema. You sacrifice yourself.
You sacrifice yourself. Okay. Yeah.
I think something that someone said last week, Reb said last week, even when she was talking about citizenship from another country to the United States, it was a transition of like a willingness now that my life belongs here and that I'm willing to defend at all costs, you know, and to preserve that allegiance at all costs, you know.
Yeah, defend and preserve. Again, very similar to what a soldier would do. At whatever post that they're given, they got to defend it at all costs, even with their life, right? Mm-hmm. You got to shed blood if it's the last thing they do. Yeah, with their lives. Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
What else, Bethany?
Brave and bold.
Sorry, Lil, did you? I didn't catch you. I didn't catch what you said.
Be brave.
And be brave.
Brave, yeah.
Brave and bold, I think.
Would a soldier...
Now my computer is running slow. Sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
Would a soldier... I'm just kidding. That was... Okay, so yeah. So would a soldier, I'm thinking, have to be almost trained... Or to know that, you know, in order to follow his commanding officer, he would have to know that his, what he would want to naturally do, which may be to run away from the fight, right? Or whatever, right? So he has to have some willingness to say, instinctually, I have to know that my commanding officer knows something better than me. So I have to yield to that, right?
Yeah, that's interesting because this will lead us into another rabbit trail. I'm wondering, you know, when you watch all these movies, you see some in the storyline of a battle, some soldiers are willing to fight for the commander. They're all in because they trust if they fight, take this post down, they will win the war. Some soldiers don't because they don't trust their commander. They say, I'm not going to sacrifice my life for this. We've seen storylines like that. And I guess that soldier has both options: to defect or to fight along with his commander. You're right. It is illegal, right? Yeah, as a soldier, if you run away, what do they call it? They go
desert. Right.
They desert. That's a no-no.
Desertion.
Right. AWOL. You can't go AWOL. Yeah. AWOL. They're gonna catch you. They're gonna capture you. Gonna put you in prison. You cannot go AWOL. But some do. Some still do go AWOL. Yeah. It all depends on what they believe about the war or
the cause.
The cause.
I think the mission. Fear takes over you too.
Mm. Yeah.
Like the fear of being killed or terrible things happening. That's from your mission.
So that's how do you deal with that? When you have that fear, you know the cause is right, but you have that fear.
One thing Frank didn't mention, I just thought of, is everybody in the military and fighters, army, whatever, they need to work together. They need to work together as a team.
Okay. Yeah. So they, you know, with the that's why it's a military unit. You fight together.
Right. They don't, and it doesn't work. Yeah. If they don't do it, it's not going to work.
No. So you fight together to, so that kind of alleviate or helps you with the fear, right? Because everybody's afraid in the war. I don't think one person is not afraid of the bullets shooting at them. Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I think those are good comments, but that gets us into the frame of mind of what allegiance and what this as a soldier, how that allegiance plays out. I'll list what you guys just said: loyalty, discipline, courage. Being brave, being bold, follow the command, no doubts, no question. Sacrificing, defend at all cost, fighting together. Those are all honorable characteristics. So with that in mind, I'm wondering how we see this command. You shall love the Lord. It's a command from our commander, if you will. And you see, you shall love the Lord Yahweh, this time your God. So it's personal now. So from here, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the God of our nation, Israel. Now you shall love the Lord your God. So now it is personal. Now you're a soldier, right? So here's my question, is that now Moses is saying, you shall love the Lord your God. Is Yahweh or Adonai commanding an emotion that we must have towards him? Because when we think about love, we think about an emotion. So is Yahweh commanding an emotion that we must have towards him? If someone can just type that into a chat, so that we'll have it. Daniel, thank you. If we break up into small groups. If so, what is it? What kind of feeling are we supposed to have? What kind of love are we still have towards the Lord? If not, what is Yahweh commanding? So what exactly is this command? Because it is a command. You shall love the Lord, your God. What exactly is the Lord commanding?
Is it a feeling?
And I'll give you guys, 5 minutes
is love
to discuss. Daniel, can you break us up? Thank you. So, welcome back. You guys got the answer. It was easy. There's enough time, right? 5 minutes to talk about love. What did you... I know in our group, we encounter some issues when we started asking this question. Did you guys find it hard or found it easy to answer this question? Is Yahweh commanding an emotion? If so, what kind of emotion?
I think from our group, we all mentioned unconditional love.
Oh, okay. Unconditional love. Yeah. Okay. And all right. What is that?
Well, first of all, he created us in his image, so we have that innate connection with him. That should be natural, just as family. Even though family members, they disappoint you, you still carry that inside of you, the unconditional love. It might not flow as easily at times, but it's like the basis.
I see. And when you say unconditional love, what exactly is it? Is it a certain type of emotion you have with your family member?
I think it goes beyond emotion. It's more like the core where everything flows.
The core. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Does anyone else have similar?
We need some feelings, people, to talk about that.
Some feelings, okay? We need some feelings. What kind of feelings are you talking about? God is commanding, you know, some type of feeling from us.
Yeah, is he? I think that's your question. You know, is God commanding feelings?
Okay, let's try something. Hey, guys, I command you to be happy right now. Everybody must be happy right now. Yeah, a smile. I saw the smile, Ivan. But that's a smile. But are you happy? Are you just excited?
You sound like a dictator, Frank.
Yeah, okay, I do. Okay. Hey, this is what God's saying. I'm just a messenger, guys. I'm just a messenger.
You can do a lot of things superficially. I could give you a smile.
Oh, yeah, you can. I can command a smile as a dictator, and then everybody will smile. But to command love, is that possible? Is that command a feeling of love? What is, I guess, it's hard because it boils down to the definition of love, right? Mm. That's what it boils down to. We have no problem with, we understand the command, but we may have a hard time defining love. So what is love? What is love?
Oh, Rex is just singing that.
Hey, Frank, I think, you know, in our group, we discussed on it. I think it is an emotion, right? The emotion, everyone knows what it feels like to, hopefully everybody feels like, you know, what is it to be, feel, you know, the love and to be loved, hopefully, right? Everybody has felt that way in some way or form. Okay. You know, it is an emotion. But it goes further than that. I think that command, what God is saying is, yes, you have to have that emotion, but it also triggers action of obedience and submission, right? But it's not mutually exclusive, because God doesn't want just us to follow commands like blindly. Then there is no love. So I think it also includes those feelings and emotions of love, but okay. it has to be followed by action of obedience and submission and all that.
Okay. Yeah. Now we're getting into something that's a little deeper now. Yeah. You're right. The feeling and the action, somehow these both things are together. Join together. Okay. So that feeling, in your best words or anybody, what is that feeling like? If you know what that feels like, what does that feel like?
Delight?
Like the fruits of the Spirit?
Fruits of the Spirit, okay. Yeah, it can. This is okay.
Like peace, joy. I mean, when you.
Okay, yeah. Peace and joy.
All yeah, right. I mean, like for me, it's hard to understand. The kid. For me, it's hard to understand, like, connecting emotion with. I feel like emotion is very superficial. Like, God's commanding all my heart, soul, and mind. Like, that's not an emotion, that's my ever being. So, and like, for me, it's like he wants me, he's commanding this because he loves me, he wants the best for me. Obviously, I'm going to choose what I'm going to choose because I'm a human being. And yes, I'm born in his image, everything, but I still have that choice. He just wants the best for me. That's why he's telling me, like, you just, if you love me with all your heart, soul, and mind, then, you know, you have the promises, they're here for you. But I still have to make that decision.
Yes.
I think that we're trying to correlate godly love with a worldly love, and it's hard to command one to love in the way we conceive it in a worldly way, whereas to truly submit and surrender yourself to God and understand everything that He does for us and everything that He did for us each and every day, it's really. I don't think how possible is it not to love God when you truly submit and understand everything that He does. So I think the two are mutually exclusive, godly love versus the worldly love, to where we kind of understand that.
Thanks, Danny. Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the word. It's really hard to do this unless you submit and surrender to God. And there is a difference between worldly love and godly love. And I think as people who are believers in this world, we have mixed messages of love, and which is why we're having such a harder time defining love, because there are emotions. That's worldly love too, and believers love. We both have you, because we're humans. We have emotions. But we also understand it is kind of tricky to command an emotion. I can't command, even God doesn't command you to feel this warm and fuzzy feeling now, this intense passion. It's not a switch you turn on and off. A feeling cannot be commanded.
Yeah, I agree. I think we teeter-tottered in the group about whether or not it was commanding it, because the reason being is, you know, first I kind of had to like break it down, like, you know, what is love, and immediately I go towards like God is love, right? And I think in the group we definitely look at this verse like towards Christian, right? And so when I look at a verse, a lot of times for me to understand, I always have to kind of put it in another example, another perspective. And for me, I put it into like a father and a son, right?
Mm. So yeah, that's good. Okay.
In that sense, it's not necessarily like the father commands the son to love him, you know, but the group had mentioned like that's part of like. And so then I have to look at, when I look at the word, the Lord, do I see him as in this sense, like since he created us? So if he created us, then he created us to love him, right? So if, you know, so when I put it into father-son perspective, it's very hard not to love each other because that's what we were created to do, you know? And so if I don't feel like it's a commanding thing, it's more of a created, we're created to do this, then what type of love are we talking about? And I think in this sense, because I said father and son, it is the emotion of this relational love, like that is very human, you know? So that's where we went.
Susie, that's good. I think your group really identifies something, the father and son relationship. That's a big part of it. And we are created to love because God loves us, but we are created to love him. And I think this is a long conversation, but I think what we need to do is look at the context of Moses and the Israelites in the Deuteronomy context. Let's look at what that love is, okay? And how it helps us to nail down the definition of love. So we're going to go through a brief history behind the word love. And as Pastor Alex mentioned before, the concept of love hasn't been introduced. This is kind of the first place in Deuteronomy. And the verb to love, you guys can just read it, is actually used in treaties of ancient Near East in the Old Testament in an entirely comparable way to suggest that the vassal's attitude to the overlord should be one of reverential fear, loyalty, and obedience. So, and I'll explain this further, but this, you know, I know the language is a little bit old. And then an introduction of love by God is modeled with the Assyrian treaty practices and expressions, which is the duty of a vassal, again, the holder of the land. It pays homage to the stronger king towards the sovereign. So it's not just a warm feeling towards the king. So God is taking something that's used by the worldly understanding of love at that time, and put injecting himself in this concept of love to the Israelites. Interestingly enough, the command of love is expressed in the context of taking of the land, right? So once they hold the land, once they go into the land of Canaan, God is saying it is the allegiance to the king, which is the owner of the land. Who's the king? It's Yahweh himself, not another a kingdom like the Moabites or the Ammonites. Now, all of this language may seem a little bit confusing, so I want to attempt to kind of help us understand in a map, okay? Forget the, I know this is back in, this is in David's era, which is after Deuteronomy, but I want you to see this concept, okay? You see all of this in the green box right here? You see my curse, this mouse here. You see everything in the green box. These are all other nations in the land of Israel. This is during David's time, okay? This is the strongest, in biblical history, the strongest Israel in terms of a nation, because David and Solomon, as we know, they were the king. And Jerusalem, that's where the capital is. So during that time, everybody in the green square were David's vassal, Israel's vassal. So they all had to pay taxes, because guess what? They had to be loyal to David, King David. And in return, King David says, I will protect you guys. I will allow you to live in your land in peace. But you remember, King David and King Solomon, I am the mighty one. I am the stronger one. So you pay taxes. So you see all these arrows? They live in peace, but they pay taxes. Even King of Harem, this is in the Old Testament, they would send timber and gold to Solomon down this road to build the temple. Again, because they need to appease the king. So in light of this, in Deuteronomic history, okay, so I just say D history, pertaining to God and his people, love is always synonymous with obedience. Okay? Because it's always used when it says love your God. In the other treaties, it's always love your king. And when they said love your king, even the Assyrian king, it's not because I want you to love me with a warm and fuzzy emotion or intense emotion. It actually says, you need to be loyal to the Assyrian king. You need to be loyal to the king. So this interesting concept here is that God is saying you need to be loyal and obedient to me. So where does the emotional part of love play a role in this, right? Again, we'll get to the answer maybe, but I think it's good for us to think about this. And does obedience trump everything we know about love? What are your thoughts right now? If this was, actually this is the meaning of love during that time. This is the context of love in Moses' command, or in God's command through Moses.
I have a question about the word love. Like, mm-hmm. There's like different versions. I don't know if this is like the same language, but like there's like sure. An eros, agape, and stuff like that. So I was wondering, like, is like God like actually uses like the exact same like word, or is it like a different version of the word love or something?
That's good. Agape is in the Greek, is the Greek word for love. And it is unconditional love. It is God's love towards us. Now, this ahava love is actually before the Greek language, way before, 5,000 years almost, before that word came about. So we're actually just studying something that was in the original context of love, when love is first introduced, right, Natalie? And then this is in the Hebrew language, ahava. So that's why it's so hard for us to kind of understand, because it's so old. It's an old concept. But when we study the word, when we study this Deuteronomy, we find that, oh, the definition is that the word love means to be loyal and to obey. And that's why God is able to command it. Because you can't command an emotion, right? It's harder to command an emotion, right? And how does that change your idea of your understanding of love?
Yeah, it clears it up a bit, yeah.
It clears it up. Whether it's easy or not, that's another story, but it does clear it up a little bit. Good question, Natalie.
Hey, Frank, I thought of something, maybe going a little bit different, a tangent here. What is God really saying what the consequences are if you don't love him? We're talking all about love, but what if you don't love him? Well, is he really mentioning about the consequences, what can happen or what might happen if you don't?
Yeah. What is the rest of Deuteronomy about? The blessing and curses. Yeah. Exactly. You know, I mentioned in the earlier in the slide, it says this verse sets the tone for everything else in Deuteronomy. It's also, right, it's the that's why the laws came in, the blessing and curses came in. Right. And it all flows in direct connection to the Shema, to love. Is that a... what do you guys think about that concept? Is that harsh?
Can I ask something here? I think sure. What you said is really good, that I think this is one of those things where everyone has a concept of love. Everyone has an understanding of love, right? How we receive and how we express it. But then, when we really want to understand love, then we start to come to a situation where we think we don't fully understand. And then when we study the Bible and we're like, well, what is this love that God wants us to know, right? It starts to become complex. And then it's a huge subject. And I like what you said is that let's not try to define, make a definitive description of love, but understand what the love that God is wanting us to learn. I think we can make it into that category. And to understand it in context. One of the things that is important for us, I think will help us, all of us in the class, is that when God chose to communicate to us as human beings, he uses human language. And the reason he uses human language is because that's the way we can understand. I think Natalie asked a really good question. Oh, I've heard of agape love. Is that love? Yes, it is. Agape is the Greek language, because during the New Testament time, when Jesus and the apostles were on earth, they were using Greek. So God used Greek to communicate to them, right? Today, we're studying about love in English because that's the common language that we have. And then we're in the Old Testament now, as Frank said, in Deuteronomy. When Deuteronomy is written, it's 3,000 BC, 3,000 years before Jesus and the apostles, okay? And God specifically spoke to the Israelites or through the Israelites, so they're using their language, which is Hebrew. But when God says love, it's not as if he defines love, but he says, as you understand love, this is what I want from you. You know, when God says to love me, I think the specific thing here, verse 5 says, with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love. And there's so much more. about what love is. He's saying, as you know what love is, you need to love me. And love is more than just a feeling, clearly. And as we really think about it, and that's what Frank is leading to. And then when I just look at this verse, and I don't know how many cross-reference Frank's going to bring up, but when I was looking at this, going back to the example of that word, right? Genesis chapter 22, verse 2 uses the word love too in Hebrew. And that's when God spoke to Abraham, and he wanted Abraham to take Isaac up to the mountain and sacrifice him. You guys know that story, right? And God actually says, take your son Isaac. And he describes the son. And he says, what? This is the son whom you love. He didn't explain to him what kind of love that is. He just says, you know, you love the son, your only son. You had him at 100 years old. He's the only one you have. I think someone else talked about love as the love a father would have for a son, right? The only son in old age. Here's an expression of that. But when we try to understand that, I think Frank's point, and it really causes me to think, because when we think about love, I think the human understanding of love tend to reside among the emotion. That's the thing. Passion and emotion is what we connect with love. And I think that's a big part of love for sure. But I think the beauty of it is when God teaches us about love, it's more than that. It's not a different kind of love. It's more than a human love. Therefore, it's not just with the heart. It's with your soul. It's with your mind, you know, with your will, with your loyalty, with your dedication, with your obedience. But it's with your strength, right? It's with your strength, with your might, with how you show it, with the kind of work that you do, with the kind of dedication and the time and the energy that you expend. And so to me, that's a beautiful thing. That's something that God has shown us, and that's something that God commands us to reciprocate. And if we go to the New Testament, the command to love is not just to love God anymore, right? Jesus says the first commandment is to love God, and the second commandment is to love others. And so that love becomes something we need to know, not only to receive, but to give. So that's, I think, so the main point is, as we think about this, it got me to thinking that it's more than our understanding of love. It's just the love that God wants us to experience and express is so much more. And so I appreciate this time of thinking about this.
Yeah, and I, you know, that's helpful to understand that, you know, when I approached this text, I approached it with my understanding of love too. And the beauty of studying God's word is we are allowing the word to shape our understanding of who God is, not the other way around. Because if it was me, I think I focus more on the fuzzy warm feelings, because feelings are the feelings of love feels good. But this is where the text is taking us. No doubt about the definition of love, which is Moses addressing the Israelites' obedience to the laws of God. And that's why Moses will keep on, you know, repeating all the laws too, right? I want to kind of go into this. I see this lion. Don't worry. He's a good lion. The Lion of Judah, okay? He looks serious, but he's actually here to protect us, okay? I thought about the look, right? Whoa, this is so serious. But see, this is going to give us the peace and the joy, actually, is the Lion of Judah, okay? And it all comes down to the vassal and the king. We are the soldiers, and we go back to the king. And that's what Moses was saying, the king's will. And Pastor Alex mentioned a lot of the law. The law commands truthfulness. The king's character is trustworthy. The law forbids unfaithfulness because our king remains faithful to his people. The law forbids coveting because king will supply what his people need. He's trying to get it to his people. That's why he commanded all these laws. He forbids, the law forbids harsh treatment of slaves because our king is a generous deliverer. The law forbids worship of any other gods in the land, which is a major theme, because King Yahweh is the only one who can protect them from ruin. Right? So that's why he says, obey me, because I'm your king. Love me, because I'm your king. I will do all of this for you. Obey the law, because I'm reminding you that I am your only source, not just the warm, fuzzy feeling. So knowing that, you shall love the Lord your God. What is Yahweh commanding?
Obey with a warm and fuzzy feeling.
Obey with a warm and fuzzy feeling. Okay, that's actually not a bad answer. Yeah, that's a good answer. We're not taking away the warm and fuzzy feeling. We need that. God created that. Yeah, okay. Do you guys agree? Disagree? Janet gives a virtual thumbs up. That's two.
I say, can you guys hear me, Frank?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I was cracking up when I think Pastor James said that, right? Like, obey with a warm and fuzzy feeling. I think for me, someone who is a warm and fuzzy feelings person, I think my whole growth and personal journey has been, man, everything in the world tells me warm and fuzzy's gotta be the driver.
Yeah, right?
And hearing this is reminding me, obey when there's warm and fuzzy and obey when there's not warm and fuzzy. But when you are loyal, because the Hebrew word does have, as the Old Testament continues, especially like in Ruth, this word ahava grows in a dynamic understanding of like hesed, which is like loyalty. And so for me, it's kind of also teaching me to say, you know what, obey even when you don't have the warm and fuzzy feelings. But the more you obey and you experience all that God is, that warm and fuzzy feeling comes, right? You may not feel like obeying. You may not feel like obeying at that moment. And you can sing all the, you know, worship songs to try to generate that feeling in order to obey. But God, what he's saying is, just like the soldier examples earlier, man, there's so many instances where God says, you just need to obey because I know what is best for you. And you don't feel like it because it doesn't make sense. You don't feel like it because it's not in your paradigm of thinking yet. But obey me. And those warm, fuzzy feelings are going to come because you're going to experience me. Right. So it's kind of like it's like obedience, period. And then like warm and fuzzies, you know.
Second.
Yeah. Come along, you know, like they're going to come along, you know.
They're going to come along. Yeah. And that's why, you know, I felt so guilty before sometimes when we have to worship God and I don't have that feeling. I don't want to sing. But nothing for us to feel guilty about because God's not commanding us to have the warm and fuzzy. We're not meant to have those feelings all the time. We like it. But first and foremost, I think what Pastor Alex was trying to say, and also Pastor James, is that obedience trumps everything else. It comes first and foremost.
I resonate with the word loyalty when Pastor Alex is talking. When you have loyalty, then you have obedience. It's just, it goes hand in hand. It's hard to not be loyal without obedience. And so as he was talking, I think of it like husband and wife, right? In that sense of that love. So, you know, Are there marriages without warm and fuzzy? Yeah. Is there obedience? You know, when I think of it, I think of my parents, you know, my mom towards my dad, but was there warm and fuzzy? No. You know, so I think it's a little bit, and that's why it's like this all-encompassing, not necessarily, you know, that's why I look at it in terms of like, I am loyal to my marriage to Bob, even at times when it is not warm and fuzzy, you know, and I am going to love him no matter what, you know, so that's kind of where, you know, I understand we're still going through this commanding thing, but I think it's just more of like, I know who I have decided to be, and all of that encompasses, including loyalty, with warm and fuzzy.
Yes, yeah, and so I think, yeah.
You know, this is, I think, very helpful for everybody, and as we're processing this, and I think one of the things that is so wonderful about understanding love, especially biblical love, the way God wants us to know love, is that love is beyond feeling, right? There is a feeling of love, but the feeling of love come and go. And that's why today, I think, you know, well, before we understand what the kind of love God has for us, we feel and we hear people say things like, oh, I'm in love, and then I'm not in love, right? I'm falling in love, and then I'm falling out of love, you know, and, oh, I love this person now, and I don't love this person anymore. Because that's when love is associated with just feeling. But feelings come and go, but true love never changes, right? And that's the beauty of what God is wanting us to understand. And I think it's great as we learn, because you know what? Because love, the love God wants us to have is the love he demands from us. It's true. But it's also a love he wants us to experience. And it's a love he wants us to give. When we understand the kind of love God wants us to have, I mean, you know, loyalty, commitment, obedience, dedication, but also with passion, with, you know, emotion. When we understand that, that's how we can bring love into our family. That's how we can bring love into the church and bring into our marriage and bring into the way we are with our children. The kind of love as we grow in that love reflects the way that we understand God. I guess what I'm trying to say is love is beyond feeling, but love is not devoid of feeling either. Right? Because if we think that then our love towards God becomes emotionless. It becomes just an intellectual, logical exercise, right? And that's not what God wants from us either. I think it's the interlocking of all of our being and being able to express that. That's something that I'm pursuing. So heart, mind, soul, strength, the whole thing, you know, the feeling and the will, all of that. How do I make sure that is dedicated to God? Because that's how he wants me to love him and to experience his love.
Yeah, and it helps when we know that our commander, our king, is a loving king. And he's this line of Judah, right? I mean, when Jesus comes into the scene, but he is all forgiving. He loves us. He saved us. He wants the best for us. It's not that disobedience is to a dictator who is a horrible dictator, but he wants the best for us. And what Susan and Pastor James was talking about is here in the if you look to the bottom of the screen, is Yahweh is commanding to love through obedience and loyalty, which is the same, which will ultimately engender the emotions of love. It's a little bit different. we start by obedience. And the emotions, the engendering, the growth of it, the, you know, it will come upon us. And when both of those are together, it's great. That's what you feel when you're like in a zone, right? That's you know, the spirit comes in, the fresh wind comes in, breathes new life, not only in feeling, but also in obedience. But it starts with us bowing down to the sovereign king, first and foremost. That's how we show our love.
Hey, Frank, just one quick note. I was just talking to Nancy about this, and I think that the discussion is really good on how we can apply our understanding of love and the concept into our own life. But I like what you did on explaining the how the Old Testament and the treaties with the vassal, right? Because we have to remember, when we're reading the Old Testament, not to apply our Western concepts to understand the scripture in the Old Testament.
Right, yeah.
Because it's written for that culture so that they can understand what that is.
Yeah.
A lot of times we're trying to see it and understand the scripture through what we understand with our Western education, our Western ideals, and our Western eyes, you know. So I think that's just something that we just need to keep in mind when we're studying the Old Testament as well. But that really helps me understand that portion where, you know, that love that God is commanding is really the obedience of a kingdom that is subject to a bigger kingdom, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a reminder, and that's what Moses is trying to convey. He's actually trying to convey, we are subjects to a greater kingdom, a greater king. But he's a good king. He's a good king, right? That's the good news. That's the good news. He's a good king, but we are subjects. Don't let us not forget, amongst all the feelings of love, which is not wrong, that I think we're just being reminded, don't forget, he is a sovereign king, Lord of lords. That's why, you know, Shema, the Lord our God, he is one, the only one. Good reminder that when we come before God, he's our friend, but don't forget, he is God. He's a sovereign God, a powerful God. Yeah.
Can I also address people who maybe don't feel a huge range of emotions? Because, yeah, like, I made that group, right? And the way the sentence is worded is like, if you have achieved like obedience and loyalty, then you will ultimately feel this range of emotions, which I think might be a bit misleading for people like me who don't feel those range of emotions. I have very mild emotions. The only emotion that I feel strongly about is probably anger. And that anger doesn't come very often, right? But when it comes, it's intense. That's probably the only one that I feel strongly about. And the way I read the Bible, like the way I interpret it, is God is completely okay with me not having these full range of intense emotion, because that's the way he created me. I am kind of like that, not like that, you know. And I feel like I can obey and I can be loyal, and I know I love God despite the feelings. And the other thing I wanted to also point out is, more often than not, I think in the Bible it's telling us to control the emotion. Like, don't be anxious, do not fear, rejoice, you know, like, it's more like God trying to direct our energy, direct our emotions in the right way, so that it doesn't become like too much. Like, we're not supposed to like go to bed with anger. We're supposed to kind of tame that anger, you know, those.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe for me, that's how I interpret it. It's like, God's okay with me not having the range of emotions. And in fact, those emotions, if it gets out of hand, I need to control it. I need to be able to like seize it.
Yeah, and which is why here God doesn't command that kind of emotion. And it is the way God have built each one of us. He is commanding the obedience. Not that you have to have a range because you can't command that. However, I think God is wanting always for his children to be somewhere kind of in the middle to express the full range of how he has created you. The good emotions even. And I don't think all of us need to have that range of emotion, but God wants us to live fully the way he created you, the goodness that he's put in you. He wants you to experience the fullness of that. That is really expressed in the New Testament even a little bit more. You know, we see it in King David. You know, he's obviously very different from all the other kings, right? He's dancing and he's singing. He's expressing those full range of emotions. I think that's a good point. By no means, I think in this sentence, does that mean when you obey, you must experience these emotions. But when you obey, which is the command itself, I think because we are gradually getting closer to God, the obedience is drawing us closer in relationship with him, that he will begin to touch your heart even more. And you will begin to be this relationship of the father and son, or the father and daughter relationship, will enter into something more than just following rules, but it becomes a more of a relationship that you have between you and your son. Those relationships, the intricacies and the nuances will become tighter and tighter. Yeah.
Can I just, you know, one last comment before we go on, you know, when Frank uses David as an example, I think this is so, so important for us to know. And I'll leave it with you guys to just think about. I'll just, you know, put it out there for us to all think about, is that when we look at even in the Old Testament, the command to love, and with the time that we spend, very precious today, we see that emotion is part of a part of who we are. It's part of who God created us to be, right? But also, time and time again, the scripture, God calls us to have our emotions follow our dedication to him, right? Our emotions follow the obedience to God's will. And that's the right place that we can express our love. And that's the right place for us to be emotional. David is so emotional, so when he celebrates God, he can have full range of emotion. But because he's such a passionate, emotional man, when he's not in God's will, he commits the gravest of sins, of lust and of adultery and of murder. It's because of passion and emotion. So where we track our emotion under the provision of God's word, then we're in a great place to be. So the encouragement for us who are emotional is fully express it, but come before God's word and in our loyalty and obedience to him so that they can be fully expressed beautifully. But for those of us, and I know many of us, myself included, where we're less emotional as a person, we need to know how to express our emotion as we follow our commitment to God. If we start to understand that, then we understand why Jesus himself commands that, right? I think Frank has alluded to that. I don't know, Frank, if you're going to continue this next week, but we can't forget that John 14:15, right? We just finished John. You remember what John 14:15 says? Jesus says what? If you love me, you know that second part, right? If you love me, you will
obey no commandments.
Obey my command. Why is love and obedience together? Because that's exactly what God has always wanted us to know.
Yeah. God's always trying to push the non-emotional. He's just balancing us out. It's both. And we have people on this with full range of emotions, all passion, needs to learn obedience, and then less emotions. Hey, I love the obedience part, but God's saying, hey, you know, I want you to slowly express it and feel what my son feels too, Jesus, in that sense, right, when he obeys me. So it's like both, you know?
Yeah. But there is a priority, as you said, Frank. I think that's very well done. I heard Peter sharing too. It's really good, because while this is what we work toward, there is a priority, there's an order, right? And that is God first and his word first and obedience first, and then we can learn about love.
It goes back to the soldier. Yeah, the priority of the soldier is to follow the commander. You serve at the pleasure of the king. That's it. If you have no emotions, that's okay. You first obey. That's okay.
You serve at the pleasure of the king.
You serve at the pleasure of the king. You may not want to. And as a person who's emotional, for me, it's like pulling teeth sometimes. It's hard for me. But this helps me. Because God is saying, Frank, I don't care how you, well, I do care how you feel. I understand how you feel, but it doesn't matter. You serve at the pleasure of the king. Otherwise, there's lions coming after you, and you don't want the lion to come after you, okay? So this will lead into next week, but does the meaning of the love change once Jesus comes into the picture? Don't answer that. Think about it, because I think Pastor Alex will go into it a little bit more. He'll bring Jesus into the picture. But does the meaning of love change? Is it still the same as it is in the Old Testament? And something to think about. I came across this version of the New Testament. I don't know, after, at the end of this, I was reminded of this verse, but I thought this Messianic version and this Message Bible, this is kind of a hybrid. This is the typical verse of seek ye the first kingdom of God, right? And all these things shall be added unto you. It's very similar to the Shema, actually. Give your full attention, obey to the king. It's interesting that they use the word king, right? In his righteousness, all these things will be given to you. You seek the king first, obey the king first, first and foremost. We serve at the pleasure of the king. And the fuzzy feelings may or may not happen. Hopefully it'll happen, right? All right, now we got to get ready for the sermon. Would someone like to close in prayer for us? Can I just close my eyes and point to a square? Can I do that? Are you guys okay? James shut off his square.
Sorry, got to go set up the...
I know. I wasn't going to... I'll just do it. I know I'm silly like that. Oh, I pointed to Jonathan. Jonathan, can you close in prayer for us? Are you still there?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan.
Lord, thank you for just... gathering us here today, and Lord, we know you're with us, although it's been a while since we've been able to meet in person, but Lord, we know that you're with us in spirit, Lord, when we're apart in flesh. Lord, I just want you to open our eyes to what you're doing in this world, and show us how to love like you, Lord. You've given us such a perfect example of your love, Lord. Let us be like you, Lord, and just show the world your love and make you known. And I want to pray for the Sunday service and the speaker today. And I pray for the rest of the day. And just thank you so much for being the God you are and just never leaving us. And in your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jonathan.
Amen. Thank you, John.
All right, John.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks, John.